Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Here, my name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing a program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. Just hope you're getting through the day.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you got a chance to listen to Steve Kerr yesterday before the Warriors and Mavericks played game 4 of the Western Conference Finals down in Dallas, because he spoke for around 3 minutes. He was passionate. He was upset, as any reasonable person would be. And seemed to, not a lone spark, but help spark the conversations that are still ongoing throughout the day around this country, which is conversations tied to the idea of what exactly are we going to do to try to lessen the likelihood, not completely prevent, but lessen the likelihood that stuff like what happened yesterday at an elementary school in Texas, specifically 19 children being slaughtered by a gun in a classroom, what are we going to do to lessen the likelihood that stuff like that happens in this country? As you can imagine, those conversations are going about as well as they normally go, but at least we're having them. Seems like the decent thing to do. We'll talk about Steve Kerr's comments momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Tim Bontemps going to join me. He's my buddy from ESPN, covers the NBA. We got another Celtics Heat game scheduled for tonight. Will it be close? I hope so. I'll talk NBA with Tim Bontemps. You're going to be here in the next segment. Finish that, take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point we will discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin had some interesting comments on name, image, and likeness deals this morning via Sports Illustrated's Ross Dellinger. I'll tell you what he said around 4:44. Supermodel Kate Moss. You can be my black Kate Moss tonight. She testified earlier today that in her 4-year relationship with Johnny Depp, he never abused or assaulted her. So that's not great news for Amber Heard. Get into that a little later on this hour. Colin Kaepernick going to work out for the Las Vegas Raiders today. It's a big headline. We'll talk about it just before 5 o'clock. And Caitlin Armstrong, the accused murderer from Austin, Texas. It is now known that she flew from Austin to New York City back on May 14th, 3 days after she allegedly killed Mariah Wilson. That's what U.S. Marshals announced this morning. So that's a twist. I'll get you updated on that future Dateline episode during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins. Just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA, kinda. We had Game 4, Western Conference Finals last night. Dallas beat Golden State 119-109. Mavericks led by as many as 29 points at one point. So it was another blowout in these NBA playoffs. Even if the game did get kind of interesting in the final minutes. Luka Doncic finished with 30 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. Steph Curry only got 20. Klay Thompson only got 12. So Dallas has cut Golden State's advantage to 3-1 in this best-of-7 series. Congratulations to the Mavericks. Whatever. The real star of the night, I thought, was Golden State coach Steve Kerr, who used his pregame availability to talk about the mass murder that happened at an elementary school in Texas earlier in the day. By now, I'm assuming you've probably heard it, but I personally don't think we can hear it enough. So let's listen to it again one more time.
I'm not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs. You know, come on, Mavs. Let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us. We are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
As you heard, Steve Kerr in that clip, again, that was last night, about an hour before tip-off, Warriors-Mavericks, Western Conference Finals. In that clip, he said 14 children were killed at the elementary school in Texas. That was true at the time that he said it. Sadly, the number is now up to 19. 19 children, two teachers, shot dead, middle of the day, in a classroom. Third graders, fourth graders. Among them, a little girl named Amory Jo Garza, who I read about today. She was in her classroom, final days of fourth grade. Gunman walks in, reportedly tells the kids in this classroom that they're going to die. He verbalized that to them. He didn't just come in shooting. Told them, you're going to die. So, little Amory Joe reportedly grabbed her phone and called 911. And when the gunman saw her do this, he shot her. She was sitting next to her best friend. So her best friend was covered in her blood. In the morning, Emery Jo, again, a fourth grade child, received a certificate for making the honor roll. She's a good student. In the afternoon, she was shot dead in her classroom. Her best friend covered in her blood. If you're listening right now, do you have a child between the age of 5 and 10? Because if you do, you know what they look like, how sweet they are, what makes them laugh, what makes them smile. If you're around a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old, you know what that looks like. You know what it feels like. I got two of them. If you've got one or more than one, close your eyes. Picture them, your own children, sitting at their school, school you drop them off at every day, in a classroom you've been in before. Picture them in that classroom. Now picture them terrified. And now picture one of them getting shot and the other one being covered in that blood. One child gone, another child traumatized, likely for life. Because that's what happened yesterday to 19 families in Texas. It is sickening, heartbreaking, frustrating, infuriating. So Steve Kerr, whose father, by the way, was murdered by gun violence when he was a child, decided to talk about it because he's been touched by this more than most. He's lost more than most. He was passionate. You could hear that. He was, in certain moments, loud. He was obviously hurt, mad. But really, the only thing he asked of anybody, if you go back and listen to it again, is to do something. Do something. And somehow, this is controversial for some people, which is absolutely insane to me. Because what I'm about to say is a fact. It's a fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. We have a gun problem in this country. It's undeniable. Every civilized, advanced, wealthy country on this planet, just like ours, they also have video games, mental health problems, rap music, all the stuff that some politicians try to point to as the real problem when these things happen. Mental health, video games, rap music. Every other advanced, wealthy country on the planet has those things. Germany, Italy, Sweden, France, Canada, Greece, Spain, all those countries have those things. There's only one real difference between our country and those countries, and it's that we have way more guns than all of them, and they're way easier to get. By now, a lot of the reporting on this is done. There's an 18-year-old young man, high school dropout, who turned 18 recently, and shortly after he turned 18, he went and legally bought two guns, including an AR-15. And the only reason he was able to do this legally is because in Texas, they lowered the age to purchase a gun legally from 21 down to 18. Once upon a time, he would not have been able to do this. But in a state where the governor in 2015 tweeted that he was disappointed because California was beating Texas in new gun sales. In that state, he was now legally able to go in and buy these weapons. An 18-year-old, high school dropout, could legally walk into a place and buy an AR-15. That is insanity. I actually looked into it last night because we mentioned cigarettes yesterday. The legal age to buy cigarettes now in the United States of America is 21. You can buy an AR-15 in this country before you can buy a cigarette. Now, to be clear, I don't think you should be able to buy either. But it is wild that you can buy an AR-15 before you can buy a cigarette. Before you can walk into a casino. You can walk into a shop in Texas and buy a gun before you can walk into the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
It's nuts.
I don't know how anybody could think that's a good idea.
No, I mean, I was thinking, like, dude, I was an idiot when I was 18. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people were. Like, the thought of an 18-year-old me being able to go and buy a gun is crazy to me, you know?
I do know. It's outrageous. And for that same governor to sit up there today at a press conference, talk about how heartbroken he is, I mean, you have to be a special kind of shameless to even show your face under these circumstances. And so now you're hearing all the same arguments that you always hear. Well, you know, if somebody really wants to get in gun and go shoot up a school or anything else, they're going to be able to do that. So stricter gun laws wouldn't help. That's a lie. Stricter gun laws help everywhere else. Everywhere else. In all these other countries that don't deal with this kind of stuff like we deal with it, they help in those other places. And by the way, the people who make that argument are so insincere or either so dumb they don't know how wrong they are, one of the two, that it's infuriating. Because logically, that argument falls apart so quickly when placed to any scrutiny. What's the argument? If people want to get guns, they'll get them no matter what. So what good would stricter gun laws do? People make that argument. I had a buddy send me a text message exchange he had with one of his buddies about this issue. And his buddy literally typed that into the phone. This is the argument politicians make. The same politicians, you ready for this? Who were literally at the same time trying to create stricter abortion laws. When it comes to guns, they say stricter laws wouldn't help, wouldn't matter. Because if you want to get a gun, you're going to get a gun. Well, why don't they apply that same logic to abortions? Why don't they say, hey, stricter abortion laws won't work? Because if somebody wants to get an abortion, they're going to get an abortion. We could debate what side of these issues you need to be on, but like, shouldn't you be consistent in your logic? This is not an argument we make about any other thing in this country. We make it harder to get alcohol than it is to get Diet Pepsi because we want it to be harder for certain people, folks under the age of 21, to get alcohol. We don't say if people want alcohol, they're going to get alcohol. So what is the point of even putting an age restriction on it? Nobody ever says that. We don't say it about anything else except guns, where people insist making it harder for people to get their hands on these things wouldn't actually help with the problem. Notice I don't say eliminate the problem. I just say help. And at this point, I'd take a little help. Some help would be nice. Infuriating because every counter argument to what I'm saying is illogical, insincere, and blatantly ridiculous. Deterrence work. Making it harder to do something makes it less likely than people are going to do it. This is true in every other aspect of life. Do you know why you can subscribe to certain subscription-based platforms with like a few clicks of on your computer, but in some cases, if you want to unsubscribe, you can't do it just by clicking stuff. It says if you want to unsubscribe, call 1-800 boom 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 boom.
Right.
All right? So then you call, and they immediately put you on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're on hold. And then you eventually get a human on the phone, and then they will eventually cancel it if you insist, but they're going to try to talk you out of it first, and you just spent 30, 35 minutes. It's way easier to subscribe to something in some cases than it is to unsubscribe. Why? Because they don't want you to unsubscribe. So they want to make it harder for you to unsubscribe because you know what most people do, or at least lots of people do? They say, Jesus, this ain't even worth it. They don't say if somebody's going to unsubscribe to something, they're going to unsubscribe to something no matter what. So what difference does it make? Let's just make it as easy as possible. They make it harder than I wish it was when it comes to subscription-based stuff. Because they know if we make it this hard, you won't follow through with it. Or at least you might not. So I don't know where we go from here. But at this point, the trend is undeniable. This stuff's going to keep happening unless we do something. And those were the words that I think stood out most from Steve Kerr yesterday. Do something. Do something. Maybe what we do won't work as well as we would like. Then guess what? Do something else. But to not address a problem is the opposite of the way we have historically tried to, as a country, address every other major issue that we endure. And yesterday was a really sad reminder that this is an issue that we need to address. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of evidence, perhaps not any, that we actually will. Tim Bontemps is up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces of sobriety, like what?
Lane Kiffin, talk to Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. For a story that published earlier today, had a lot of interesting thoughts on name, image, and likeness in the future of college athletics. I'll share with you what he said in the next segment. Jeff Cargis will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the NBA for ESPN. It's Tim Bontips. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Tim, it's Gary. Appreciate you being here. I apologize for getting to you a little later than I had planned. That's on me. Let's start with Steve Kerr and his pregame availability yesterday, where he spent 3 minutes talking about the mass murder, 19 children killed at an elementary school in Texas yesterday. Obviously, Steve, this hits him harder than it hits some because he lost his father to a murder, specifically gun violence. But I'm confident other coaches and NBA players feel the same way he feels, or at least similarly. Why do you think more do not speak out so publicly and passionately the way that Steve did yesterday?
Well, I actually was busy doing live TV, Gary, because as you know, in live TV, when the arena shuts down for shoot-around or for a late shoot-around right before the game, we had to move everything around. So it was good you were late anyway.
Okay,
so
good.
All good on that. As for the coaches, I mean, look, I think in general, I think it's sort of difficult to talk about that stuff, right? And I think for everybody, they have a different level of comfort with that stuff, right? Some people choose to keep their thoughts to themselves. Some people choose to express their thoughts publicly, right? And you know, Kendrick Perkins, one of my colleagues now at ESPN, he talked on TV this afternoon about how his mom died of gun violence. I didn't even, frankly, know that, right? So I think for everybody, it's just their own personal preference on how they handle that kind of stuff. Steve, as you mentioned, his father was assassinated. He was a professor in Beirut in the 80s and got shot and killed. And, you know, he's had to acutely deal with this in a way that, you know, maybe other people haven't. But, you know, Ime Udoka, the coach of the Celtics, who played a bunch of years in San Antonio, coached a bunch of years in San Antonio, he talked about his experience with this today, and he has a 10-year-old son who's in fourth grade. So, like I said, I think it just depends on what your personal comfort level is and how you feel about talking about that stuff publicly or privately.
Let's talk basketball. The Mavericks beat the Warriors last night, 119-109. Luka got 30, 14, and 9, and afterwards said, "We still believe we can win this series." Do you still believe, not that they will win this series, but that they reasonably could win the series?
I mean, I don't know if I'd say reasonably, Gary, since nobody's ever done it, right? I mean, but I do think it's not impossible, especially in today's NBA, when teams shoot the ball in ways that they haven't before, right, from three-point range. I mean, we've seen wild swings in every game in these playoffs, it feels like, and a lot of it just comes down to who gets hot from three. And, you know, even if you look at the series, look at these first three games of the series. In games two and three, I mean, game one, Dallas got smoked, right? Game two, they were up a bunch, missed a bunch of threes in the second half, lost. Game three was a nip-and-tuck game. Dallas missed a bunch of threes, and they lost. If they make a bunch of threes the next two games, it could be 3-3, right? Like, do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. I would think it's more likely than not that Golden State gets this done tomorrow in the Bay. But, you know, I thought last night that Golden State sort of messed around with that one and kind of let it go. I was like, you know, we'll get game five in Oakland or in San Francisco, I should say now, and they probably will, but I'd be careful messing around like that in games in the playoffs these days because, you know, as we've seen time and again, things change really fast with the three-point shot. And I think, you know, we haven't seen a 3-0 comeback yet, but we're going to at some point. And why not this Dallas team with, you know, arguably the best player in the series and a bunch of guys that they all get hot at the same time could put up 140, 145 points a night.
Like you mentioned, it got away from the Warriors last night. They made it somewhat interesting in the final minutes. Like, Steph even got put back into the game late when, you know, it looked like, okay, maybe they can actually come back and win this thing. And then it got away from them again.
Yep.
I will never question Steve Kerr for expressing himself the way he did yesterday. But I wonder if there's a connection between these things. When, you know, he is before the game saying the basketball stuff doesn't matter, and Steph Curry is tweeting video of it saying, "Watch this as much as you watch the game." Is it possible that, like, and I don't mind that they weren't focused, but just speaking matter of factly, is it possible they weren't focused the way they otherwise would have been or could have been focused if not for that tragedy in Texas?
I mean, maybe, except that Jason Kidd basically did the same thing. Right. And I'm not saying that to say that they weren't potentially more affected or anything like, or that they're, that I'm not trying to say they shouldn't have been impacted or anything. You know what I mean?
I understand.
But, like, ultimately, both teams and the guys in Dallas live in Texas.
Right.
Right. So, like, I think to me, what it spoke to more than anything was Golden State. As you well know, right, you followed the Warriors for a long time, being out in the Western Conference. Like, they tend to have a history of screwing around, right? They have a history of screwing around the court and committing turnovers. It's been pretty costly. I mean, we all remember in Game 7 against the Cavs, Steph threw behind-the-back pass 200 minutes ago straight out of bounds, right? Like, that's just sort of the way the Warriors have always played. They've always been free and loose, and it's driven Steve Kerr crazy sometimes, and I think last night would, you know, again, I'm 100% not trying to minimize what happened or minimize any of the impact of it or anything else. I think it's just more likely it was that than any other residual hangover beyond that.
Tonight we get Game 5, Boston-Miami. It's been a strange series because it's tied 2-2, but the games haven't been competitive. How do you make sense of that?
Nope. Well, it's very simple to me, Gary. I mean, it's maybe the most reductive series I've ever covered. If the Boston Celtics don't mess around and don't turn the ball over, they're going to win by 15 to 20 points. I think that's the way this is going to go. In the two games the Celtics have lost, they've committed 1,000 turnovers. In the two games they've won, they've committed, I think, 18 total, right? That's the series. It's, can the Celtics just stay locked in, do what they're supposed to do, and not mess around? If they do that, I feel very confident they're going to win the game. I think they're the far better team, and that's before you account for Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler and P.J. Tucker all dealing with injuries. Bam Adebayo in the games Robert Williams has played this series has been a complete non-factor. I think it's more likely than not, as my colleague Adrian Wojnarowski has reported, that Robert Williams is going to play today in Game 5. So if he and Marcus Smart both are able to go and the Celtics have their full complement of players for the first time in this series, I just think they're the far better team, and I think they should beat this Miami Heat team, which, as we've seen, Garrett, when the Celtics don't turn the ball over, the Heat cannot score at all. In the two games in Boston, Game 3, Heat scored 39 points in the first quarter. They scored 70 the final three quarters, and that was with the Celtics throwing the ball over the yard. In Game 4, they had 42 points with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and that was Victor Oladipo scoring 20. So, you know, you put all that together, and, you know, if they don't turn the ball over, the Celtics should win this game.
Yeah, the Celtics are a remarkable story, and we talked about this throughout the season, but this was a team that was, you know, under 500 in January. People really questioning the first-year coach, really questioning whether they need to split up the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown thing. What's the simplest explanation for how they went from that to a team that really might win the NBA title?
I'm going to hop off after this, Gary, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I've got to do some more TV, but I will just say that, look, the basic thing that happened was the Celtics traded away Dennis Schroeder and Josh Richardson. They brought in Derek White, and they're playing Peyton Pritchard. You combine that with getting healthy. They now have a roster that fits. They have a roster that plays together. And they have maybe the best defensive team I've ever seen among their top seven players. In my, you know, my time covering the NBA, I think their top seven guys are the best group of defenders I've seen because they're all bigger than average at their position. They're all incredibly agile, and they can play against anybody that they're against out on the court. And that's why you've seen them, even against Giannis Antetokounmpo, against Jimmy Butler, against these different guys in the playoffs, completely shut down their opponents time and time again. And it's why if they can just stay out of their own way and get out of the series, I think they're going to beat the Warriors if they advance and win the title if they stay healthy. But it just comes down to, again, them staying focused and locked in the way they need to on the offensive end, sharing the ball, hitting open threes, and playing better defense than, like I said, I've ever seen anybody play.
Thank you, brother. Go be a television star.
Appreciate you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. That's Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Game 5, Celtics Heat. A schedule for tonight, FTX Arena down in Miami. Tip is 7:30. You'll be able to watch it on ESPN. When we come back, Lane Kiffin talked to Ross Dellinger for a story that published earlier today at SI.com. Had a lot of interesting thoughts on name, image, and likeness in the future of college athletics. We'll get into that next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You're the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You're the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom! You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom! You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And it is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. Hand to heart. I see you spies out there sometimes. I'm walking around. I see you spies. I know I'm being spied on. If I try to pick up another bottle, I know how that would go down. See you spies. You're not going to catch me. I ain't doing nothing wrong. Telling the truth. I walk in a liquor store. If I'm going to grab some, it's going to be a bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka. And the reason is because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. It wouldn't make any sense for me, you, anybody else to get any other brand. If you're looking for a vodka, New Amsterdam is going to be the best value you can find when you're looking for something that's also quality. So next time you're in a restaurant or a bar, please ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. Right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Interesting story from Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, earlier today, where he talked to Lane Kiffin about a number of things, including name, image, and likeness, and the future of college athletics. And it is awesome that Lane Kiffin has gone from the coach people rolled their eyes at once upon a time to, like, maybe the most sensible college football coach that exists.
The voice of reason.
He's like the voice of reason in college football. It's like, even if you don't like Ole Miss, I don't know how you couldn't enjoy Lane Kiffin at this stage in Lane Kiffin's career. And one of the points he made to Ross Dellinger, he said, people can say whatever they want. And obviously this is a topic of conversation because Nick Saban last week said that the only reason Texas A&M got the number one recruiting class in the country is because they spent a lot of money on it. And Jimbo Fisher was very offended by this. And Lane Kiffin, he told Ross Dellinger, here's the truth. Most recruits are choosing schools based on name, image, and likeness money that is available to them. And he added, but how can you blame them? Because most of these guys are never going to make it to the NFL. Like every football prospect going to a place like Alabama, Texas A&M, they think they're going to the NFL. But they're not all. Some of them are. But they're not all going to the NFL. And so it is possible in some of these cases, if not likely, the most money these people, forget about them as football players, people, these humans, these men, the most money they'll ever make in their life is the money they're going to make playing college football. Because of name, image, and likeness rights. There is a football player at Texas A&M right now who will make more money next year than he might ever make in any year the rest of his life. Like, what if there's a football player at Texas A&M makes $800,000 next year? But then, you know, hurts his knee, never makes the NFL, graduates and becomes a high school football coach and teacher. He will never sniff $800,000 a year again. So as Lane Kiffin points out, why wouldn't these young people be making decisions based on money? Right. You know, $800,000 to go to Texas A&M. I'm just making up a number, but like that's not an absurd number. $800,000. Think about what you could do with $800,000. Okay, you pay taxes, you lose a lot of it, but like, can you pay off your parents' house?
Yeah, you can set yourself up nicely with that.
You can really change your family's circumstances for a lot of these families with $800,000. Coaches make decisions every single year based on money. Where am I going to coach football? Is it this place that's offering me this much money or this place that's offering me that much money? Often coaches are persuaded to coach football at a specific place because of the money that is available to them. So why shouldn't people also choose where they're going to play football for the exact same reason? That's the point Lane Kiffin made, and I don't know how you could intelligently argue otherwise. He took it further. He said you can go and build these great weight rooms and facilities, because that's what universities have done forever. They've taken all this money that they don't know what to do with, but they got to spend it, and they build the nicest weight rooms and the nicest apartments and the nicest practice facilities. And the point Lane Kiffin made this morning is you can keep doing that if you want to, but unless you've got name, image, and likeness money, you're not going to have any good players in these beautiful facilities. Like, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Maybe it used to when you couldn't offer real money, but now you can say, look at this weight room. You ever seen anything like this? Look at this practice facility. You ever seen anything like this? All right, coach, looks great. How much money am I going to make if I come here? Because this other school told me it's $1.2 million. Lane Kiffin said, you better have NLI money backing you up, or else you ain't getting the players that you think you should get. And the coaches, he said, that try to reject this, they'll be the ones that get left behind and ultimately fired. He compared it to the changes in actual football. He said, trying to pretend like name, image, and likeness shouldn't be the reason you get or lose a player, it would be like, and this is quoting Lane Kiffin, still huddling and still playing from an I formation. You know, there were some football coaches who said they were going to avoid the spread. We're not doing that crap. And almost all of those people are out of jobs. And this is going to go the same way. You had all these coaches saying, I ain't doing that spread crap. It'll go away. No, you'll go away. Almost all the coaches who held that opinion, he said they're no longer coaching college football. He said he rolls his eyes, Lane Kiffin did, when he hears people say that this model is unsustainable. Why is it unsustainable? People say, well, these boosters aren't going to keep throwing around. If you believe Texas A&M's collective is in total $30 million annually, he's like, people say, well, these boosters aren't going to keep coming up with $30 million annually. He said, yes, they will. These are the same boosters who will pay a coach $20 million not to coach anymore.
Right.
They'll just fire a coach. It's going to cost $20 million. Fine. Get him out of here. Then we need a new coach. Right. And that might cost $40 million. We got that too. So, of course, they're going to keep throwing around this kind of money. They've been doing it forever for coaches. Now they'll do it for players. He more or less bottom lined it this way. We are professional sports. These are professional players. And we should not hide from that. Adapt. Embrace it. Or you'll get left behind. Good stuff from Ross Dellinger and Lane Kiffin. If you haven't read it yet, it's SI.com.
Story number two.
Caitlin Marie Armstrong, the woman suspected of fatally shooting elite cyclist Anna Mariah Wilson in Texas, is believed to have traveled to New York City after the killing, authorities said earlier today.
You are about to be in the same city as this woman.
Is she really there still?
They got a picture of her there.
She was at LaGuardia.
She was at LaGuardia, yep.
I will be at LaGuardia tomorrow.
Dude, what if you run into her? What are you going to say?
I'm going to say, why did you kill Mariah?
Yeah. You need to turn yourself in.
Yeah, I'll say that too. You need to turn yourself in.
Yeah.
But I'll also say, could you do 425 on Monday? I'd take a shot, you know? Could you do
four? Huge for the show.
Could you do 10 minutes at 425 on Monday? I mean, I'll probably get to you more like 429.
Well, that's okay. She can wait.
I'm not promising you we'll get to you when we actually schedule you, as Tim Bontemps knows. But we get to you.
Yep.
So she is accused of killing this woman on May 11th. For people who might be unfamiliar, we've talked about it all week. Can't get enough of this story. Her boyfriend had a romantic relationship with this other woman. He says it stopped a year ago. Other people don't seem to believe that. They spent all day together on May 11th. But this Caitlin Marie Armstrong, she was tracking her boyfriend's phone.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know it. And he saw that, she saw rather, that he was not where he said he was going to be. He starts following him. She starts following him, sees him drop Mariah Wilson off at this home. It's the home of one of her friends. And allegedly she came back there that night and killed her, shot her multiple times.
Jeez.
So nobody can find her. She's been charged with murder. Nobody can find her, but U.S. Marshals earlier today said that the shooting happened on May 11th. And on May 14th, so 3 days after that, they now know that she flew to New York City. And they've been able to track no airline travel since then, but they know she landed at LaGuardia. And there's like actual video surveillance of her at LaGuardia, you know, in a mask, the whole deal. You think she's still in New York City?
I mean, I don't know how she's not. Like, where's she going to go? I mean, she can't fly anywhere, so what's she going to do?
Get a car, upstate New York, cross the border into Canada.
Yeah, I mean, that seems logical. I was going to say, like, I can't believe she was able to do a cross-country flight to New York.
Well, she wasn't charged with a crime.
That's true, but they were looking for her.
At that point, it's a little bit like, I can't remember my guy's name, but the story
the Petito,
Laundry.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit like him. Like, it feels like, all right, you know this guy probably did this, but you haven't been able to charge him yet, and they just let him walk out of his home.
Sure.
And then he goes into the woods, and we now know he shot himself. Like, shouldn't you have been that was the question people were asking. Shouldn't you have been monitoring that guy?
Mm-hmm.
And what they more or less said was, it would have been illegal for us to be following that guy. Like, we were not allowed to, legally, would have caused problems for us. So once they haven't charged this woman with a crime yet, and they have no legal reason to be monitoring her, they're apparently not monitoring her. And she booked a flight to New York, and that's as much as anybody knows right now. So I'm going to get to New York tomorrow, and I'm going to check into my hotel and
get to the bottom of this.
I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to see if I can't find her.
Yep.
And if I find her, I'll call 911.
Good.
I'll turn her in.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Story number 3.
Colin Kaepernick, who last played professional football in 2016, same year he started kneeling during the national anthem to protest racial injustice, is scheduled to work out for the Las Vegas Raiders today, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. It's going to mark Kaepernick's first workout with the NFL franchise since being exiled, and it will be the first time the former star quarterback visits with the team since he flew to Seattle to meet with the Seahawks in May 2017 before they passed on the opportunity to sign him. Question.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick playing the NFL next season.
Man, I mean, honestly, this place, this makes a lot of sense because they've got nothing behind Derek Carr, who has an injury history. I think his backup's like Nick Mullins or something. And so this is a logical spot for him to land if he's good enough to play in the NFL, which I think he probably is. I'll say he is going to be in the NFL next season.
I'll say yes, too.
Yeah.
I don't know that it'll be with Las Vegas, but I think he will.
This workout's very important.
Oh, sure. It's like it's a step in the process.
Yeah, other teams are going to see it. Like, it's big for him.
And it's also big, you know, I mean, it could be, I guess it could cut both ways. It could be big if he looks good. If he doesn't, somebody will say, well, yeah, this looks like a guy who, you know, is now older and hasn't played in the NFL in a long time. He doesn't look like he's – there is a time Colin Kaepernick was not playing in the NFL where he so clearly could have been playing in the NFL.
True.
But honestly, we don't know if that time still exists.
Agreed. You know, he's acknowledged that he's happy to be a backup quarterback in it. So do I think Colin Kaepernick can be a backup quarterback in the NFL with his skill set? And is he able to do it? Like you said, I think probably, yeah.
We'll see. He's 34 years old.
Yeah.
By tomorrow, we should have some reports on how the workout went. So perhaps we'll revisit this story then.
Story number four.
You can be my black Kate Moss tonight, testified earlier today.
All right, what's going on here?
So you remember the scene a few weeks ago when Amber Heard was testifying and she, on her own, brought up Kate Moss and Johnny Depp's attorney, like, looked like he was watching a soccer game and his favorite team just scored? As soon as she said Kate Moss, Johnny Depp's attorney was like, yes, she did it. Do you remember this? Did you see this?
No.
It was an odd thing that I think lawyers recognized pretty quickly what was happening there. I'm not smart enough to understand it. I never went to law school. But there's this rumored story about this one time when Johnny Depp threw Kate Moss down a flight of stairs.
Okay.
And so Amber Heard is talking about it in the context of a fight she was having with Johnny, and her sister was there, and allegedly this and allegedly that. And she said, I was worried because I've, you know, heard the story about Johnny maybe throwing Kate Moss down a flight of stairs. And Johnny's attorneys were like, woohoo, you just messed up. Because, best I can tell, they would have never been able to bring Kate Moss into this unless Amber Heard brings Kate Moss into this. But once she brings up on her own, I heard Johnny did this to Kate Moss. Well, then they can bring Kate Moss in to say, hey, did Johnny do this to you?
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to Kate Moss testifying via satellite today. She's still in London, I believe. And she said,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.